around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here again today. Today is Tuesday. Tuesday, October the 20th, 2020. We welcome each of you again to this broadcast. As you well know, we just started a new series entitled The Rising or the Evil Revolution Arising. We are certainly in the throes of a revolution. Some of you may not believe that. You may not think that. But we are in the throes of a revolution, and those revolutionaries who are rebelling against law and order and everything that is right and just. There are so many out there today. There is such treason from the Congress and the Senate. It is despicable. It is deplorable. We must pray and storm the throne room of God to smite these evil doers. Remove them. Righteousness exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach or a disgrace or a shame to any nation. And it's here. We're in the throes of it. Unless you and I become responsible, blood-bought, born-again children of God, rise up and pray, God can turn this thing around. 2 Chronicles 20:17 makes it clear, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. We've got to pray and get a hold, as I said yesterday, to the horns of the altar of God until God sovereignly moves. Three things we must be praying about: the presidential election, the Justice Department, William Barr, and the United States Supreme Court. I'm pleading with you. As in this teaching, Paul says, I beseech you, I implore you, I ask you humbly, please pray, pray. If it's just 10 minutes every day, pray. Can you imagine if 10 million Christian followers prayed out to God, 10 million prayers saying, God, move in this area. As E.W. Bounds, he's written numerous books, but I'll never forget one of the statements in one of his books I read. Wherever prayer is focused, that's where the power of God is going to fall. Do you hear me? Wherever prayer is focused, that is where the power of God is going to fall. It's going to fall. Are you praying? And let me remind you again, November the 1st, Sunday, after you eat dinner Sunday, please fast and pray with me through Tuesday, the day of the election. Now, I know there are a lot of people, I think Franklin Graham, Jonathan Kahn, there are many that are going to Washington. They're storming Washington, and they're going to pray too. They're going to pray too. You see, these men that fear God, they're praying. You little Joey Osteens and TBN and all these little hooligans, they're not interested in praying the power of God down and seeing revival, seeing repentance, seeing a move of God, the Holy Ghost. They don't care about that. I do. They do. I just don't have the platform these men have. I don't have millions of dollars. If I had the money these men had, I'd be on TBN, Daystar, I'd be on all of them, preaching, uncompromisingly. My God, that takes a lot of money. You can pray for me. that God will touch people's hearts all over this nation. I dare say it cost me $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a month to get on these networks and pay the bills. This stuff is not cheap. We have a shoestring budget around here. We work hard and we pray and we fast. But again, I never care if we get big or not. I've told God all my ministry, I'd rather be small and enter into the kingdom of God than to be large and go to hell. I would. Mark 8, 36, 37, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? I could be like Swaggart every month, begging for money, having a sheriff on, begging, 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 begging. I'm not going to do that. Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your needs. If God wants me on television every week, he'll get me there. He'll put me there. I'm like the turtle on the fence post. You ever ride down the road and see a turtle sitting on the top of a fence post? Know somebody put him there. I'm where I am right now. I'm just a little turtle on a little fence post, but God put me here. Never had any idea I'd be heard around the world preaching the gospel of Christ. Before we get back into this powerful series on the evil revolution arising, I want to play a very, very upbeat song, very upbeat. It's by Watts, Rousey, and Bean, entitled Turn Your Radio On. If you want to hear the truth, turn your radio on and listen to the voice of evangelism. Turn your radio on. That's how you listen to the voice of evangelism. 1986, January or February of 1986, the station manager of WAME in Charlotte, North Carolina, approached me and said, we'd like to put you on the radio every day, 15 minutes a day. And when he produced the intro to our program, I didn't know anything about radio. That's where you hear that statement in the beginning of every program. Around the world, the Spirit of God is moving and a voice is being heard. That's been 34 years ago. We did not know the day would come, but that was the prophecy in that introduction music. Think about that. I was just a local pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina, but John Hamilton, through the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and probably he didn't even know what he was doing. The steps of a good man, you see, are ordered by the Lord. So he created that intro and outro, of course. Around the world, the Spirit of God is moving, and a voice is being heard. I had no idea God would suffer me to be heard around the world. The earth will not be left without a voice from God. God's going to speak to his people. We want to pick back up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to exegete the first 12 verses thoroughly. When I get through with this, I think you're going to see, realize, and understand you've been mistaught. Other ministers have misrepresented the truth to you. And here's what's tragic. I was taught wrong. I taught people wrong. But remember what the Bible does say. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the more you study the Scriptures, they will correct something that you've been taught wrong, something you have misunderstood, but the Scriptures are for correction. And this is what bothers me. Men today are so proud, so puffed up, they just can't be corrected. They'll keep hammering pre-tribulation rapture. They'll tell you the church is in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Jesus made it clear in Matthew 22, for in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage. I don't understand. In a sense, I do. The power of pride. I preached a message years ago from one of the books of the Pentateuch. I forget which book, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus, the power of your pride. The power of your... Did you know pride is powerful? Pride is so powerful. And when we have conflict, Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. When there's contention, it's because somebody has got too much stinking pride. And they're unyielding, they're ardent, they're adamant, they're overwhelmed with rigidity, and their pride is what makes them so rigid that everybody's wrong but them. They're right, and you're always wrong. And what does the Bible say in James 4, verse 6? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. They stir it up. By the things they say, they stir the stink. They stir it up. I try to be careful because we all have pride. Every one of us. Uno, me, we all have too much pride. We won't admit it. We won't admit it. And there's a difference in true pride and false pride. Satan had false pride. Now, what do you mean by that? Let me use the analogy of a guitarist. He can't play worth a flip. But he thinks he can, and he runs around telling everybody, I'm one of the greatest guitarists that's ever walked in shoe leather. That's false pride. He has no reason to be proud, but he is proud, but he still cannot play. But you take another guitarist who can smoke it. I mean, he can flat play it, the frets, transpose, whatever needs to be done. He can do it. He's got the ear for it. He's proud because he's good. But you see, that's true pride because he has the gift. As Muhammad Ali said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. You know? So you have false pride versus true pride. False pride says, I can, but you can't. True pride can play the guitar, but they're puffed up and arrogant, and they're above everyone else, and everyone else is beneath them. So there's a difference in understanding pride. God told Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28, he said, thy wisdom hath corrupted thee. Now, there's no doubt about it. There is no doubting the beauty of Lucifer. I mean, the guy was an absolute beautiful angel. But Ezekiel 28:17 says, thine heart was lifted up. Not his heart. I don't know what kind of a cardio angels have. They're supernatural beings. But he said, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Remember, Lucifer means bright, brilliant, shining one. Thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Thus he says, I will cast thee to the ground. You see, he thought his beauty was within himself. I marvel at handsome men. I marvel at beautiful women. But remember, if you're a handsome man or a beautiful woman, you got it from your mom and your daddy. Yet you walk around like, oh, look at me, man. Remember, genetically, that came from your mom and your dad, not you. But yet people walk around as though they're so glamorous. But it didn't come from you. It come from the combination of the seed and the egg. And this is how God made you. All right. I want to pick back up today in the evil revolution arising. The evil revolution arising. The Apostle Paul was very much well aware of the violence and the rebellion that would come to fruition in the time of the end. It's the rebellion. It is the sin and the spirit of Antichrist that's going to bring to fruition, going to bring the man of sin on the world scene. You see, it's going to get so bad, that's why they're going to bring, unknowingly, they're going to usher in the Antichrist. Now, Dr. Henry Spake, one of the founding fathers of the United Nations, said we have too many committees, we have too many men making too many decisions. We need a man, whether he be sent from God or the devil, we need a man to rule and reign over the earth. Well, that's going to happen supernaturally in the end by God himself. But prematurely, there's going to arise this man called the Antichrist, the son of perdition. He's called the Wicked One. When you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, then shall that wicked be revealed. And your King James Version, the word wicked is capitalized because it's not only a adjective describing something or someone, it is personifying him. Then shall that wicked be revealed. The wicked, this man. So that's one of the names of the Antichrist. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Not that wickedness shall be revealed. That wicked. That's one of his names. That's one of the names of the Antichrist. That's why he's not in place of Christ. He's against Christ. You don't replace Christ with wickedness. You oppose Christ with wickedness. Paul could see through the Holy Ghost the falling away. Remember, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The coming of the Lord, our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. What is the falling away? Turning away from God to Antichrist spirit. Let me tell you how messed up we are in America. Rebellion has become so rampant in America, there are those who now rebel against their natural designated sex and gender. They rebel against who, how, what, why God has made them. I am a man. I am a man. I have a beard. I have facial hair because I am a man. Women are not made like that. And for me to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror with a white beard and say, I think I'm a woman today. Well, I sure am an ugly looking woman, I'll tell you that. I don't know any man that'd want a woman to have a face like mine. But they do. Why? Rebellion. Rebellion. If I was going around saying I was a woman, all straight men would say, man, that guy is messed up bad. And that would be true. But I'm not a man. But do you see the rebellion? How God anatomically made them, created them. Conception begins in the mind of God, not in the womb of a woman, because he told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you, Jeremiah. Wow. How great is our God to know us before we were born. That's why abortion is so heinous and evil. I was in a Lowe's home store the other day, home improvement store, and I was blown away. I was standing there. We finally found a deep freezer. You know, you can't find deep freezers now. They're impossible to find. Chest types, because I was trying to find me a cow to put in the freezer, one that's killed, of course, been cut up. But since this COVID mess, you can't find a freezer. So I finally found one. I put my name at different stores, and one in South Carolina said, hey, we got your freezer. It's here. Come get it right now. But I'm standing in the store waiting. I'm waiting for them to bring the freezer to the front so we can load it up in my pickup truck. Here walks in the store a man and a woman. Are you ready for this? They walk in. Now the man, he has on a tank top. He has on shorts. And he has long hair. Now, I don't know if it's his wife, his girlfriend, or his partner. But you ready for this? She had a flat top haircut. Flat top. You guys and some of you women know exactly what a flat top is. And she was wearing bib overalls, you know, with the strap near the pocket and the leg where you put your hammer and you slide your tape measure or your tape ruler, the ones you fold up in there. And I thought, he looks like a woman and she is looks like and dressed like a man. And I thought, man, this is weird. This is weird. He should have had the flat top. He should have had the coveralls. If anything, she should have had the long hair. She should have had the tank top. She should have had on the shorts. They were totally reversed. And I'm sitting there saying, man, life and the world is getting crazy. Weird. I shouldn't use the word weird. It's how sinful. It is how sinful we are becoming in this generation. I pulled up behind an SUV. Maybe I shouldn't even tell this. And God forgive me if I shouldn't. I pulled up behind an SUV the other day. Had a sticker on the back. And it had four elephants, two large elephants, and two little elephants on each side. And the little elephant on the left side said, "Sister." Both of the big elephants had "Mama" written on both of them. And then the other little elephant had "Brother." So you had sister, mama, mama, brother. And at the bottom, now I'm setting at an intersection at a stoplight. And it says, "Yes, I am," and used a four-letter word, ing, gay. I thought, how disgusting. Now, I felt like if a highway patrolman would pull up behind that, or an officer of the law should pull him over and say, "That is so indecent for children to be sitting in cars pulling up behind you and able to read that junk." That's disgusting. And I'm thinking, look at the open rebellion. You see, Paul says this thing is going to get so bad. Verse 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "That you be not troubled, neither by word nor by letter or by spirit as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." You see, Paul knew there's going to be troubling things take place that's going to affect us mentally. Let's back up and start verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Paul said, don't let these spirits trouble you. You see, people are, I talk to people, man, the last 2 weeks, people have called me left and right, marital problems, job problems, children's problems, church problems, and I spend hours. One phone call was an hour and 47 minutes long. Why do I do that? This person listens to me, but they don't support me at all. But they got a church problem because the pastor is in an adulterous relationship. But because I love a body of people that I don't even know them, I care. So when they call, I try to minister. Do they support this ministry? No. As a matter of fact, the last three or four phone calls I've had, people don't support me. One guy even called me and said, "Man, I need to support you. I listen to you every day." We're not going to ask for money. We're just not going to do that. But I am responsible to minister the Word of God faithfully, whether I am compensated for that church or that marriage or that home, that family. God is keeping a record. So that's why I don't worry about it. But it does consume a lot of my time. Now, yeah, the people here in the office don't know the time I spend ministering on the phone. I don't come in here and say I spent 6 hours in one day praying for people, counseling people, advising people, etc. You know, and let me say this. The people who support this ministry the best and the most never ask for anything. Isn't that amazing? The most loyal, the most dedicated people to the voice of evangelism, they never ask me for hardly anything. So again, as the Lord told me years ago, you got two kinds of people in your life, givers and takers. And believe you me, I've had my share of takers. Oh, but I sent an offering one time. I need you to know, the power bill, internet bill, radio bills, Blog Talk, WWCR, these bills come every month. The best friends I got that write me every month are bill collectors or debtors. They write, they don't miss a month. They're so faithful. They write me every month. But when I open it up, it says, "Send me $290 for your cable, your internet, your telephone service, whatever it might, send us that money. And if you don't send it, well, we're going to turn it off." And we have to have it. We have to have it to disseminate programming. People. Paul saw the rebellion. He saw it would get so rampant that it would bring the fruit. It'd be like fertilizing a plant. When you fertilize rebellion, it's going to eventually explode. And you see it explodes through people like Nancy Pelosi, who declares the president is the enemy of the state. Hey, the guy hasn't even been there 4 years. These people have spent a lifetime there. Who do you think's the enemy of the state? Who, talking about lying? You like your health care? You keep your health care. You like your doctor? You keep your doctor. But did the media nail Hussein Obama down and make him answer? No, they wouldn't do that. Biden? You know why I don't make fun of Biden? You know why I don't make a mockery of his dementia? You know why I don't make a mockery of his inability to put together two contiguous statements together? It could happen to me. I mean, let's face it, I'm 65. I'm at the point my mind could begin to wane, and I don't remember this, and I don't remember that. And he says troops died with our American troops died in Iraq and Iran. Well, he's half right. The other half's wrong. He doesn't know where he is when he arrives. He's got to have a teleprompter. You talk about mental and physical abuse to a man. His wife and all of them should be locked up. You think I'm kidding? They should be locked up. That's abuse. That's abuse. But they don't care. They'll use anybody and everybody to get the power they don't want you to ever have. They want it. They covet it. They're greedy devils. It's not only in the government, it's in the church world. Begging for money. They're greedy. Isaiah 56 said they're dumb dogs. They don't even bark. And they never have enough. They never have enough. People's told me 100 times, Kenneth Copeland is a billionaire. I don't know if he's a billionaire, but why do you keep begging for money if you're a billionaire? When is enough enough? See, those are rebellious spirits that are emanating from within inside the church. Rebellion is not only in the world. Rebellion is in the church. Paul speaks of rebellion. Samuel spoke of rebellion. It's in the earth. It's in the church. It's in the world. And it creeps into the church. It creeps into Christian people's lives. And they need to pray to keep rebellion out. But it's there. And it will only grow exponentially. As I said, rebellion has come to such a magnitude. Women will now say, some, not all, some women will say, I am a man. And then we got men who will say, I'm a woman. That is the embodiment, that is the personification of rebellion. When you are anatomically a man, but you say, no, I am a woman. That's crazy. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion and stubbornness are on the same plateau. They're on the same plane. Rebellion and stubbornness. Do you know any stubborn people? I do. Do you know any rebellious people? I do. I know a lot of them. See? But have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Other than sodomy, now listen to me, other than sodomy, I don't know of a greater act of rebellion than to deny your sexuality as God created you. I don't know of a greater act of rebellion than the act of saying, you're born a man, but you say you're a woman. You are born a woman, but you say you are a man. Other than sodomy, I know of no greater act than those two declarations. Sodomy, to me, is one of the top sins. That in abortion, to me, would be, if you were to grade sin on a scale of 1 to 100, sodomy and abortion is 100 plus. It's not normal. It's not normal. And to think a baby can be born lying there on the gurney, keep it comfortable, and then kill it. Do you realize how much we've changed since 9/11? This is why kingdom theology, kingdom now, that theology is gross error. You can't have a kingdom unless you have a king. We're not going to get the earth ready for Christ to return and come back. It's going to get so bad, he has to come back. Except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. If Christ didn't come, there would be no humanity. It's going to get bad. And I hear these jacklegs running around, well, we're in the Great Tribulation. You're so silly. You're so silly. World War II was far greater than anything man has ever seen. And what's going to come is worse than that. But yet they'll tell you, no, we're in the Great Tribulation. I'll tell you, I'll let you know Revelation 12 and 12 when it comes to fruition. How can I do that? How will I know? Matthew 24, 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whosoever readeth, let him understand. You see, some of these people, most of these people, they don't understand. If they understood, they'd understood what Jesus meant there in Matthew 24, 15. Would they not? Luke 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Come on, folks. This is not rocket science. It's two things. The Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Word of God, Holy Spirit. If you are abiding in them and they are abiding in you, this stuff is not hard to understand. What's your objectivity? What's your objective? To see people saved or to sell DVDs and books? I want to see people saved. To deny the truth is an abomination. Proverbs 8:36. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Now think about what the Bible says there. When you sin against God, you're wronging, or better put, you are injuring your soul. Your soul and your spirit are the two entities that are eternal, living in this clay jar. This face, you see this? This is so temporal, it's dirt, it's dust, it's going back to the earth from whence it came. But what's on the inside of me, spirit and soul, that never ceased. When this body takes its last breath, just like a woman running a vacuum cleaner, and finally, the motor. You see, a motor is electric. An engine is combustible. You guys that are in mechanics and understand those things, a motor is electric. You don't have a motor in your car unless you have an electric car. You have an engine. It's combustible, diesel engine, gas engine. It runs off of fuel. Motors run off of electricity. Either way, when your engine dies or your motor dies, it won't run. When I die, you die, you don't talk, you don't run, you don't twiddle your thumbs anymore, you don't bat your eyes anymore, you're dead. But just because your body dies does not mean you cease to exist. What's in you goes out into eternity forever, either with God or lost without God. That's why Jesus called it eternal life. You see, I have life in my physical body right now. I have life. I breathe in. I breathe out. That's life. There'll come a day that won't happen. But what's in me will still be alive. It does not cease to exist. So Solomon in Proverbs 8:36 says, "He that sinneth against me," talking about God, "wrongeth, does his own soul wrong." You hurt your own self. You self-afflict. You self-wound yourself because of sin. Well, you go out here and you fornicate. You know that's wrong. But you get HIV. You get AIDS. You get gonorrhea. You get syphilis. You get chlamydia. Whatever kind of disease you get. You're wronging your own soul by sinning. You drink, 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 drink. Then you get cirrhosis of the liver. And you say, why did God do this? God didn't do it. See, there are laws of reciprocity in life that you reap what you sow. Be careful what you sow, because you, my friend, will reap it. I remember years ago distinctly in a message I was preaching. I remember it to this day. I had a heavy anointing on me that Sunday morning, and I was walking across the podium as I was preaching. And I said, if you could look behind me as I walk, you would see two things. You'd see two things. I would want you to see those two things. I want those two things to be behind me. What are those two things, Pastor? Remember Psalms 23? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I've got to sow the right things for goodness and mercy to follow me. My grandparents taught me how to raise a garden. You disc, you plow, you till, then you run your furrows, and you go and you plant your seed, then you come behind and you cover up the seed. After you've covered up the seed, what you have planted behind you, it will now follow. It will come up. Some of you, regrettably, have sown some things. Some of you have sown some things that you didn't care to go back and dig up and get them out of the soil before they came up. Let me tell you something about an oak tree. When that oak tree is a little small sapling, 2 feet tall, you can reach down with your bare hand and snatch it out of the earth. After 30 years, you can't even get your arms around the tree. That tree will stop a Greyhound bus, a tractor trailer rig. Why? It's too big now. Men in life sow stuff. Instead of going back and digging it up and getting it out and planting something good so goodness and mercy follows them, they won't do it. They're too proud. I can't go back and straighten that out because that means I'm wrong. That means I'm guilty, so I can't do that. But you forget, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap that, sir. You're going to reap that, ma'am. You sowed it. You're going to reap it. And if you can see spiritually, a truly blood-bought, born-again child of God as they're walking, now I'm talking, this is spiritual. You've got to see it in the spirit. You'll see goodness and mercy behind them. God's given me so much goodness. God has given me so much mercy. 3 years ago when my son had that terrible truck wreck, when the Holy Ghost said 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, get up and pray now, go pray now, go pray now. And I jumped up out of bed and I went upstairs and I got on my knees. And I said, God, I don't know what to pray for, but I know you told me to pray. And this is where wisdom, this is why I pray for wisdom so much. I said, God, if you'll give me if you'll give me mercy. See, this is wisdom teaching me how to pray. There is a gift of the Spirit called the gift of wisdom, folks. And I said, God, if you'll give me mercy, I don't know what I'm about to encounter. I don't know what I'm about to face. But if you'll give me mercy, I'll be all right. My son should have gotten killed. If you could have seen that truck wrapped around a pine tree at 90 miles an hour, he should have died. And he told me, he said, Dad, I had my seatbelt on, but he was knocked out. He said, after I woke up, the seatbelt was undone. I'm in the passenger seat. Had I stayed buckled up in the driver's seat, I'd be dead. Because the tree was sitting in the middle of the seat. Mercy. You live right. You pray. You walk before God. As I said that Sunday morning preaching, if you could look behind me, you'd see two things following me. Goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. Great God in heaven. I praise God. David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And in the end, I will dwell in the house of God forever. Forever. You want the goodness. You want the mercy. Regrettably, sin and rebellion is going to accelerate exponentially, and men will become so rebellious. And Paul warns the church, he warns the body of Christ here in verse 2, not to be shaken in your minds. Remember Dimitri Dudeman? One of the things that God told him, he said the minds of men would be overwhelmed and they could not handle what's going to happen. Do you believe the word of God? If you do not dwell, remember Psalms 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice what he said. He that dwelleth, it's not an occasional visit. It's not once a month, once a week. It's those who dwell every day in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Paul's warning is, you've got to stay. The church has got to stay. The body of Christ has got to stay in the secret place so that your mind does not become shaken. The rebellion is going to grow so powerfully, men's minds are going to be shaken. But if you stay in the secret place, let me emphasize, he that dwelleth in the secret place, that word dwelleth, he that stays there, you got to stay there in the secret place of the Most High, then you will not be shaken beyond your ability to withstand the onslaught of evil that is going to arise. I hope I'm making sense. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wickedness is in high places. But as Paul concludes Ephesians 6, verse 10, he says, finally, concluding, in the conclusion, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your might, not your power, but his power and his might. No man can overthrow God. No demon can overthrow God. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is going to keep you, preserve you, protect you. The devil cannot get through God to get to you. He'll try. He'll try. He will try. Don't let him. I love Psalms 108, verse 12. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Do you hear me? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. That's a reality. God, give us help from trouble. For vain, worthless, fruitless, void is the work of men. I want to pray. I have just been led by the Holy Spirit to pray more on the air until the election. Father, this nation, I know, is going to witness such egregious rebellion that the Christian, the believer, is not going to be able to fathom it, neither understand it. But those who dwell in the secret place are going to realize the gravity coupled with the depravity of mankind and how far he's drifting and wafting away from God. I pray for the United States Justice Department. I pray for the United States Supreme Court. I pray for the President, Donald J. Trump, of the United States of America. Holy Spirit, I invoke your presence to brood and to hover over those three departments of the executive branch. Those are the head offices. Those are the head branches. I pray against the wicked rulers in the Senate and in the Congress. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you humbly, clean the House of Congress up. Clean it up. Clean it up for the sake of the people. You never leave your people without any hope, Lord. Even as Jeremiah sat in the ruins of Jerusalem, he said, my hope is in the Lord. Your compassion, your faithfulness, your mercies are renewed every day, Lord. Every day you said you renew them. Every day. Father God, I pray today in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over those three entities, Supreme Court, Department of Justice, and the presidency. I plead the blood of the Lamb, the holy, spotless, sinless blood that was shed 2,000 years ago. I plead that precious, precious blood over those departments and entities, Lord. And I pray for old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction to sweep over the entirety and remainder of this nation, from federal government to state to county to city to municipalities. God, I pray conviction. God, I invoke conviction. I plead with you to send massive, unfathomable conviction. Conviction that makes school teachers want to sit before their classes and weep. Weep because they can see if you do not move the destruction of the children. They will witness through the Holy Ghost the calamitous, the tumultuous events and what it's going to do to children. Lord, smite them with conviction. Give us testimonies of school teachers breaking down and crying, professors crying before their classes, crying uncontrollably. And they'll say they don't know why they're weeping, but we'll know. We'll know. We'll know. We will know. And Father, I'm asking you to touch Donald J. Trump in a way that he'll ask the nation, America, to pray. To pray. Touch him in one of these meetings, somewhere, somehow, some way. Touch him where he'll verbally, audibly say, America, pray for me. America, pray for us. America, pray for our nation. So that it'll be a testimony to the pagans and the heathens. Father God, I ask you to do this today in the name of your son, Jesus. I'm a man of prayer. Donald Trump is a man of prayer because he has people around him praying for him, Lord. hear the prayers of the righteous. As David said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their prayers. James 5 and 16 said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What I desire, Lord, is not covetousness. What I desire is not greed. What I desire is not something I want for my personal edification or gratification. It is for this nation. I pray today you'll answer this prayer, O God, and you'll move. And Father, I'll be the first to stand and laud and praise and extol your name and tell the people, see how good God is, see how great God is, see how magnificent, how magnanimous you are, God. Give me another testimony, Lord. Give me another testimony from this prayer, this humble petition, Lord. Let me see fruit from this prayer. Let the listeners see fruit from this prayer, Father. Let them witness it so that it might encourage them, embolden them to pray more. If they see one prayer answered, they'll pray more to see two answered, three answered, four prayers, a dozen prayers answered. I believe you, God. I believe there is none in the world, none in the earth, like you, Father. Nobody's like you. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6 says, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, for thou art great and thy name is great in might. Everything I've prayed today, Father, I ask it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Your only Son, the Son that sits right there at your right hand, Father, I ask it in his name. You made him, formed him in the belly of Mary's womb. You sent him. You made him incarnate. Now, in his name, I petition and I pray all of these things in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus. Bless every home, every family, every marriage. God, send revival. Turn this thing around, Father. Begin to stir. Begin to move mightily as never before. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you next week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020.